And we're going to continue talking about burgers in a moment. I just wanted to share with you a few little things about my recent trip in Quebec. I was in Quebec last week. It was absolutely phenomenal. And you can read more about the foods that I discovered and the great eating at my blog at responsibleeatingandliving.com. The blog is called What Vegans Eat. But just briefly, I wanted to talk about a few things. People often ask what to bring on an airplane when you want to bring food. And it's difficult because we have this challenge about liquids and paste and things we can't bring with us on board. Actually, I'm going to save this little part for my next guest because he knows all about food for flying. So I'm going to save that tidbit. I'm just going to move on and say I discovered some wonderful crepes. And one of the things, I knew this when I lived in France in the 90s, and somehow I forgot about it. But many traditional French-style crepes that are made with buckwheat flour, sarrasin, are vegan. They are egg-free and dairy-free. Of course, whenever you go into a restaurant, you want to check because you never know what kind of secret ingredients they might want to slip in. But traditionally, they are vegan. And we discovered this one place that made wonderful crepes. I went back a couple of times just before, they were so good. And then I went home and I started making my own crepes. So please visit my blog, What Vegans Eat, and read all about my adventure in Quebec. Now I want to bring on my next guest, Marty Crutolo. And for more than three decades, he was a commercial and charter pilot and recently founded Marty's V Burger in Manhattan, which boasts a unique vegan patty made with seitan, rice, and beans. Marty, are you here?
Karen, I'm right here. How are you today?
Good. How's your refrigerator?
Oh, he hasn't shown up yet, so it could be any minute. I have a broken refrigerator. I'm waiting for a repairman in our office.
Right. But I never wish that on anyone anywhere.
I feel honored to follow Carol. She's just so knowledgeable about the whole food industry, and I'm just a pilot who now sort of flips burgers for a living.
Well, one of the very important things in order to make change, and we were just talking about making change, is having access to the materials that make change possible. And access means places where we can go to get the food that we want to eat, and that means restaurants that serve vegan burgers.
Well, it's interesting. You were talking about the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger. And we have both of them on our menu. And when we started, when we introduced them, we did a poll on Facebook and Instagram. And the poll was, I think, 49-51% for one versus the other, and another poll was 50-50. So when you say that some of them replicate the taste and aroma of meat, I find that, as far as vegans go anyway, there's two schools. And I'm of the school where the closer somebody can come to replicating something that I don't eat anymore, the better. If somebody could replicate my grandmother's meatloaf, I'd be so happy. And then the other school is anything that reminds them or comes close to reminding them of what the animal component of the meal was, want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're also seeing in the restaurant is very interesting, is that people will come in based on trying this new food. And I don't want to say it's a fad kind of thing, but anything that gets somebody who's not vegan into my restaurant to try something new, I just think it's a win. It's a win for
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Yep. Bring in the curious. And sure. Like I've said many times, it takes courage. It takes courage to change. It takes courage to try new foods. And it's a great thing.
Now, I must say, I am a little disappointed. Might not be the right word, but maybe disappointed when people come in and they order the Impossible or the Beyond and not my burger. But then again, we didn't put that burger on the poll because we wanted the poll to be fair, and we didn't want to put our ringer in there for it.
Ah, very good. Let's back up a little bit and talk about when you were flying Marty.
Yes. What would you like to know about that life?
Yeah. I talked to, I don't know, years ago on my other show when I had the show Ask a Vegan, I think it was, and we talked a bit about your life as a flying vegan.
Yeah, started out as a vegetarian and then went to vegan. And I, of course, don't have any airline credentials these days, so I'm in the same boat of what do I bring on the airplane as everybody else is. And I will say that since I stopped flying about three and a half years ago, the quantity and the quality of vegan options in the airport terminals is astounding. I'm a go-to guy for sandwiches and fruit. Nobody has ever said anything about that. Hummus was taken away from us once.
Me too, because it's a paste.
Yeah, it's obviously explosive.
If it's spread on a sandwich, it seems to be okay, but if it's in a container, it's not.
Well, let's not try to reason the rules at the checkpoints, because I'm not sure there is any reason behind some of them. But I think that if things are wrapped when you buy them in a store and there's some kind of a label on it and it's wrapped, there's less eyebrows raised. Of course, the rule with liquids applies and the paste applies. But, you know, I mean, where are we going that we can't survive for a couple of hours with just eating a banana?
Yeah, that's true. You can always bring fruit, and I always do. And if you're going into a foreign country, they're not going to want you to enter into their country with the fruit. But you eat it before you get there, and that's fine.
Sure, sure. To eat it, or there's plenty of facilities at customs to throw things out.
Sure. I don't like wasting, though. I'd rather eat it on one of those. I got that kind of crazy mentality. No waste. I wanted to talk about when I was just leaving for Quebec, which was last week. I was so excited about bringing food on the plane with me because I was traveling with Deo Robbins, John Robbins' wife. Uh-huh. And she was coming from California, staying overnight, and then we were flying from New York, and she was concerned about having food for her trip to Canada. So I wanted to make some special things because I love her. And I just recently posted this new recipe where I used, it's like a breaded baked tofu, and the breading is made from pumpkin seeds grounded up and spices, and it's just amazing. And so I thought I would make that, bake it the day before, and travel with it. And I'm not concerned too much about baked tofu being refrigerated for a few hours. I bring it with me in a cold, one of these bags that keeps things cold, and it's fine. And then I was going to make sweet potato toast, where you slice it like in thin slices and bake them all and bring them along. And I prepped everything. It was beautiful, turned on my oven, and my oven wasn't working.
Oh, no.
Now, the oven's 18 years old. It's had a good run. And the happy ending is it's working again. But at that point in time, it wasn't. And we had to bring a service guy in to fix it. So I had to kind of get creative. And I ended up, the sweet potatoes were okay. I put them on a stovetop grill and cooked them that way. They were fine. But the tofu with the breading was very fragile. And they turned out edible, but they weren't beautiful.
Best laid plans sometimes just turn into a mash.
Mm-hmm. But you got to be careful if you're bringing it on a plane, because a mash may be confused as a paste or something too liquidy. It had to look firm. Anyway, let's get back to veggie burgers.
Sure.
So when did you open your vegan burger?
Our restaurant opened last July, so we're just about coming up on a year.
Wow. And what have you learned in that year? Because running restaurants is never easy.
Oh, what I learned was I should have written it all down, because it'd be a bestseller book by now.
Mm.
The trials and tribulations of dealing with real estate and construction in Manhattan is something that if you haven't done, it's incomprehensible what you have to go through and how many hoops there are that you have to jump through. Every time we turned around in the space, there was some other issue that had to be dealt with. So whether it was demolishing the walls and finding that there wasn't the right fireproofing and we had to do it, and we had to shore up the joists in the basement, and the plumbing system had to be redone, and the electrical system, and dealing with Con Ed. So nothing to do with food yet, just 18 months to get the doors open. So dealing with food is so much fun and so much heartache at the same time. I don't even know if I can describe the feeling of watching somebody eat my food and then write online that it's the best veggie burger they've ever had in their life, or tell me face to face. And when we talk about burgers, it's an interesting kind of thing, because when I ate meat, if we had burgers, it was all about the seasonings and it was all about the flavors. And Chef Kevin Archer told me this once when he did at the Jivamukti Cafe, he did a class about Thanksgiving, and he said it doesn't really matter what proteins we use and what stuffing flavors we use. It's all about the seasonings that we recall as the memory. So when we take a burger and we put a special sauce on and a cheese and pickles and lettuce, and we recreate a childhood favorite that I used to eat all the time from one of the big fast food chains, I'm trying to hit that flavor profile exactly. And whether I do it with an Impossible Burger or a Beyond Burger or my burger, we're still trying to hit those trigger points of pleasure in the brain and recall those pleasurable moments. So I think that when we talk about burgers, the flavorings and the seasonings have to be brought into the picture as well.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's all the accoutrements, as Carol called it, the condiments. And I like a good sauce, sautéed onions, sautéed mushrooms, of course, tomato and ketchup, and a good bun. And what else could I put on there? I'm not into pickles myself, but maybe one little pickle.
Well, we have our own special sauce. We also have a steak sauce, and every sauce that we sell in the restaurant, you can get on any item that we have in the restaurant. So if you want barbecue sauce on your burger, we will make you happy.
Have it your way at Marty's V-Burger.
Yeah, that's it. And we're also located in an interesting area. We're on 27th and Lexington. And it is an area that is known as Murray Hill, but referred to as Curry Hill because of all of the restaurants in that area.
Yes.
And so we thought that it might be interesting to see if vegetarians who came to that area looking for vegetarian food would eat at our restaurant, or were they going to eat the food from their native countries, and they happen to be vegetarian at the same time. And we're seeing a little bit of a crossover. It's nothing remarkable, but we do see people who are vegetarians who have never eaten chicken or never eaten a burger come into our restaurant and become repeat customers.
Smart move.
Yeah, I think it's all about getting someone to try the first bite. I'm very fond of saying we don't eat tree bark and leaves anymore. And it's true, because and this is an issue where vegan companies and advertising, should we use the word vegan when we say we're a restaurant, we're a vegan restaurant, or are we 100% vegetarian restaurant? Or do we not say anything and just say Marty's V-Burger and you figure it out? And we have had people come in, look at the menu, you can see the light bulb going off, and they're, oh, this is vegan. Oh, okay, thank you. And then they leave, and it's just such a missed opportunity when we can't get them. And I say, listen, buy the burger. If you don't like it, I'll give you money back. Because I know that people will love the burger.
Right. Yep. They just have to have the courage.
Yeah, the first bite. And then also people will come in for the Impossible Burger, and they'll be looking around. They'll be like, those drumsticks look pretty good. Oh, you have a Krabby Patty? Oh, that looks... And then they'll try something else, and they'll try something else. And now we've broadened their experience, and we've expanded their mind, And the next time somebody says, oh, that vegan food? They'll be like, oh, no, 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 no. Let me tell you about a place I go to. And that's how we have to spread the message. That's our activism, is on the food side. You know, we have to make a profit. It is a capitalist system that we work under, and we do have to get the rent paid every month. But really, it's about vegans, I say, will find us. But yep. It's the omnivores that stumble in or come for another reason or are coming with their friend. I'm not hungry. I'm not going to have anything to eat, but I just, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden they're ordering some food. Whether it's the fries, the chili fries, the cheese fries, the chili cheese fries, the flavor profiles pop.
I just want to congratulate you, Marty, because you're one of the few who have had a dream and put that dream into action. And you had a lot of challenges this year. You described a few of them with the building and getting the space in place and jumping through all the regulation hoops that there were to jump through. A lot of people talk about, oh, I want to open a restaurant. And it's very hard work, and it's very hard to make it happen. So I'm proud to know you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. It's an amazing experience. And I'm not sure, actually I am sure, that other people who have gone into this industry, who are in this industry, who open a single restaurant, another one, and another one, have gone through very similar things. In New York City, it's a little bit like the Wild West in terms of what you'll find and what people have managed to perhaps get away with in the past. And the way the law is written, if you don't know about it, you can't fix it. But if you know about it, now you sort of have to fix it and bring it up to code. So these experiences with other people in the restaurant business are—it's a shared, you know, the dream at sometimes becomes a nightmare, but then you wake up from it.
Yes, unfortunately, I'm sure it's true in many places, but in New York City, we've seen a lot of turnover, and the local government benefits from that because you're spending all of these fees for permits and things just to make it happen even before it happens. And then if it doesn't work, then somebody else comes in and tries to do it, and they spend more money on their fees to make it happen.
Sure. I know that the fees are a revenue stream for the city, but I also think that when a restaurant makes it and starts to get traction and the sales increase and then the sales tax increase, that there's a benefit to the success of a restaurant as well. I'm looking forward to opening up another one and another one and another one until I hit 5,000. But that's a number I have up on the wall. I don't know whether I'll, I'm 62 years old and I want to get out of this business by the time I'm 90.
Good. You're just getting started. I like it.
Yeah. Perfect age for a second career, right?
Absolutely. I am in sync with you. I just turned 60. And I've got a gazillion projects that are on my list to do. And I finally feel like I'm in the right mindset and feeling energetic and strong and fueled by plants. I can do anything.
I feel the same way. And part of our mission statement is to put out good food at the lowest possible price to feed the most amount of people, to do the most amount of good, and save the most amount of animals. So that notwithstanding, we have a philosophy of donating and making contributions to various vegan organizations and some sanctuaries, and you know, whether it's a gift card for a raffle or it's food that we have left over after we do an event that we donate for homeless meals, that's also part of the game. As a pilot, it's sort of interesting. I flew airlines and I flew charter, and I flew some very, very wealthy people. I mean, like 1% of the 1% wealthy, and I never understood how somebody could be worth $1 billion. I just, to me, I was like, I couldn't give it away fast enough. You know, so I hope everybody in the audience is rooting for me to be the billionaire so that I could give it all away to Sanctuary.
So, Marty, I'm rooting for you. What I love about most vegan restaurants that I am familiar with, and I can't say that I know all of them, but the ones that I go to and I'm in love with, I find for the most part vegan proprietors of restaurants have a passion like you do and a mission like you do and are extremely generous and extremely caring about their food. And then I want to go a little further and say we don't always find that in mainstream restaurants. And I read your recent post on Facebook where you went to a place that offered vegan options and stuck in some non-vegan cheese by accident.
What I've said all along is I see vegans who get excited when White Castle brings on the Impossible Burger, and Carol mentioned that Ethan Brown wanted McDonald's to carry the Beyond Burger, and I think that's all great. And then vegans go, and they're served something with butter, or it's a non-vegan bun, and then the complaints start. And
yeah.
I think that we need to recognize where we are putting ourselves and what our expectations have to be. And the first time I had the Impossible Burger, I sat down with my wife. We said, oh, we're vegan. We're vegan. We're eating vegan food. We want vegan food. We want the vegan burger. We want the vegan bun and the vegan cheese and the vegan lettuce and the vegan tomato and the vegan fries and the vegan, you know, napkin and the vegan fork. And as I tell the story, I think I said it 27 times, but I should have said it 28 times because as I finished the burger and started on the fries, and I finished the ketchup, and I dipped into what I thought was going to be mustard, and I put a big gob of mayonnaise in my mouth. And exactly, and look, I mean, I spent most of my life eating these foods, and I'm more repulsed by the idea than I am by the actual food, although it's probably close. But who's to blame here? I went to a restaurant that I knew served certain things that I find objectionable and ethically don't want anything to do with. I went there to try some food that I was thinking about bringing on board. So who could I blame? Well, of course I could blame the restaurant, and there is some culpability there, but who am I complaining to? I went where there was fire, and I got burned. So
it's always a leap of faith when you eat in a restaurant. Even though there are codes and regulations, it's a leap of faith.
When you go to a vegan restaurant, there, in theory, is some ethics behind the food. I care that there's no non-vegan items in my restaurant. When somebody comes in with a chicken cheese pizza, I do not allow them to eat it there.
Thank you.
No outside food. And
right.
That's how I can say no outside food. Do I really care if somebody goes to brings in a vegan dish from another place? Yeah, I don't really think it's cool, but I'm not going to stop you from eating it. Now we're moving towards a kosher certification, so that may come to an end. But you know, I care that you come to my place to eat vegan food and you get exactly. It's not just about the money. Now, if I had a regular restaurant, I just want to turn tables. That's all I care about. When I'm in the restaurant, I always ask people how they like the food, because if you didn't have a good experience, I don't want your money. I want you as a customer. So
I love it. Marty, you're awesome. I'm so glad to have had this time to talk with you. I love your mission and everything you're doing. I'm reaching out and giving you a big hug. And I want you to succeed. I want you to have 50 billion Marty V burgers all over the world. And I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for having me. I really enjoy spending the time together.
Me too. I'll see you at the next event.
Sounds good.
Okay, take care. Marty Crudolo of Marty's V Burger. Visit Marty V Burgers in Manhattan when you have the next opportunity. Just like a minute left, and I wanted to remind you one more time that tonight is the beginning of the Food Revolution Network's Plant-Powered and Thriving Expert Series. It's free. You'll hear Dr. Joel Fuhrman tonight. It's at 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. And then the next expert speaking in a couple of days will be Chris Wark. And then on June 2nd, you've got me talking with my friends and colleagues, John Robbins and Ocean Robbins. So if you want to know more about it, this free event, go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's my website. That's where I live. You can click on the big banner on the right that talks about the Plant-Powered and Thriving Expert Series. You're going to enjoy it and learn a lot. I'm going to be listening tonight and in a couple of days, too. I know I'm going to get a lot out of it. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Have a delicious burger, vegan burger. Bye-bye. Thank you.